Hello, Peter Twist here, welcoming you to the Internet Marketing Lounge for another week. Who are we talking to this week? Well, Armin Moran is back with us, as well as Yannick Silva. From the UK, we speak to Phil Gosling, and Jim Straw will be with Louis Allport again. We've had quite a few requests to hear more from Jim, as well as Martin Avis, who's the owner of the Biz E-Zine. That's all coming up in today's programme. And it's interesting when you talk to other internet marketers how everybody does have a mentor. Here's Armin Moran.
You know, at the Internet Marketing Super Conference in Vegas, one of the things that stands out of my mind over the whole weekend was Yannick Silva did a talk, and he had mentioned the fact that he had 8,000 affiliates.
Right.
And I was like, you know, okay, so I've got, you know, a little over 2,000 now.
Yeah.
I need 6,000 more somehow.
Yeah.
Because if he has 8,000, you know, how much, I don't know how much money Yannick makes, but I know he's very comfortable. And I said, you know, I want 8,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it'll be very interesting. So my whole goal is to obviously increase my affiliates and do different things for my affiliates as well.
But again, in being invited to these different conferences, it must be nice to now rub shoulders with these people.
Yeah, well, you know what happens is you tend to make friends with a lot of the people.
Mm.
You know, the speakers that are there. It turns out, you know, I've been really fortunate to, you know, to meet people like Carl Galletti. I met Carl Galletti only at a seminar prior to his own seminar, at Michael Penland's seminar. And I met Carl there. It was the first time we had met. And we hit it off. Great. Joel Christopher, who is who I purchased my first conference from.
Wow.
Who has become a great friend of mine. In fact, we're getting ready to release a project in upcoming soon that we've been working on together.
Mm.
And it's just going to be fantastic. I mean, people like Ted Siuba, Kurt Christensen. I've been up all night at these conferences with Kurt.
Kurt is amazing, isn't he? The way he buys and sells mailing lists and stuff.
Yeah. He is brilliant in his whole marketing strategy. But we enjoy talking about the same things. And once you find a person that can talk at your level,
yeah,
you know, you can start talking about all this stuff. And we were up to 6 o'clock in the morning on one of the conferences we were recently at. And we were talking about, you know, all these people like that. It's just fun. But you know what? You know, because there's the marketing aspect, and you know, but then there's the people themselves. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to want to talk with people that you just don't, you know, that you don't care for.
Yeah.
And all these people that I've met at the, especially the speakers, and I say the speakers because they're just some tremendous people, and you know, you see their names all over the place on the internet. You know, they're real people. They like to have fun just like everybody else does.
Thanks, Armin. Well, Armin mentioned Yannick Silva, and Yannick's here now because when we're trying to work out what we're going to sell or the next project we're going to put together, you certainly have to do a lot of soul searching, but of course you can look around and see what people are looking for and see what other people are doing as well. And Phil Gosling will be talking in a few moments' time about some of the pointers he goes through when he's creating a product. But first, here's Yannick.
I think you were one of the first people, from what I can see, who started using the strategy of they call them mini sites or one page sites. And there's still quite a bit of arguing about that, isn't there? But you totally believe in that approach.
I don't think I was one of the first ones because I studied people like Jonathan Mizell and Marlon Sanders that were doing it. Well, I believe in what works, and if tomorrow Super Mega site with all kinds of content would bring me more money than my little mini site, then I'd do that.
So, of course, it's just about getting feedback from people, isn't it?
Yeah, and the market tells me, and if they stop buying, then we'll try something else. Who have now since become my friends, which is pretty funny. The people that I looked up to as mentors are now, you know, pretty good friends of mine. I was pretty amazed at that, too, when I went to my first internet seminar, which Jonathan Mizell put it on in Boulder. And I went there, and people were freely sharing all kinds of information. Everyone was pretty young and very, for lack of a better word, hip. And it's just a different crowd because I've been to other marketing seminars, and it's just a totally different world. And, I mean, a perfect example of that is Marlon Sanders. You know, he came out with a product called Push Button Letters, I think it's called, which is a software product which creates a sales letter for people. It's a little bit different than what we do. But, you know, if this was some other industry or whatever, I would be, who knows what I would be doing, trying to sue him or something for some kind of copyright infringement, even though there probably isn't any.
Yeah, but really, there's enough for everybody, isn't there, I think?
Absolutely, and that's exactly the way I feel. And I feel that we all live in a total world of abundance, and if I make millions, that's not going to preclude anyone else from making millions. The way that I think of it is, you know, you can take a teacup to the ocean, or you can take a tanker down there and fill it up. The ocean doesn't care. Whatever you decide in your head you want to take out. I spend a lot of time just surfing around random websites, checking out what other people are doing, what's going on, if they're using something interesting and technique that I think is cool, I could try apply it and see if it works for me. You know, that's really, this is going to be bad to say since we're recording, but I'll say it anyway, I don't really care. I'll surf the porn sites, but I'm actually looking for marketing tips because they are on the forefront of marketing.
Because they've got to grab your attention. I mean, they were some of the first people to use pop-ups, I think.
And then they started spawning all these multi-windows, and now we have, you know, pop-unders that are kind of unobtrusive, and they'll pop up a new window. These are pretty standard now. Well, they are standard in, you know, people that are internet cutting edge, but it's just a way to increase the value of each visitor that comes to your site. And you have to study from all different industries, all different people. You know, I always try and keep my eyes open and ears open and check out. I mean, there's like a local taco stand down the road from me that I like, and they capture emails. They give away a free taco. They put a little piece of paper on the tray with your order, and it says, you know, give us your email, we'll give you free food. And so it just look at the way that people are applying these ideas, different things. Just a natural curiosity. You know, when you have to think like a 2-year-old kid. You have to think. Oh, 2-year-old kids are always saying, "Why is this? Why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that?" And the more you can do that, you know, as adults, we want to think that we know everything. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know anything, and that's why I like to ask people why, you know, why they do certain things, or what did they decide to do here? Why are they doing this here? It's kind of funny because most people are really, the whole way that we write our advertising is we write it as, you know, what's in it for me, because people don't really care about you at all.
Hmm.
But they care about themselves. And I think Jay Abraham actually said this. He said the way to be more interesting is to be interested in other people.
Thanks, Yannick. Well, now we move on to Phil Gosling, who's based in the UK. And I love the letter that Phil sends out to people. It starts off by saying, "Dear fellow job hater, how would you like to quit what you're doing now and instead work from the comfort of your own home?" Well, Phil has over 20 hit seminars and workshops behind him. He's an advisor to many companies in the UK. And we sat down, and the first thing I asked Phil was, when you're coming up with an idea for a product, a brand new product, is there any kind of process that you go through?
I'll think of this idea. I'll go through a 7-stage process very, very quickly in my head. I can do this in about 5 minutes. First of all, I put myself in the mind of the buyer, not me, the producer.
Right.
So if I've written a new book on something, I will put myself in the mind of the prospective customer. First thing I'll say to myself is, this product that I've got, does it have competition? And if it does, is it better? So when I first wrote about the home publishing course, everyone told me that this course is out there already. Yeah, there are. Just that I decided that the information that I wanted to impart was better, because all the other courses were all about direct mail, and mine wasn't. That's the direction I came from. I decided quite simply to make the information that I was supplying better, far better than anything that had been seen before. It was the Rolls Royce of the bunch. So if you're going to have competition, make sure that yours is a good product. Secondly, is it sensibly priced? Sensibly meaning within the market that you're aiming at. To get my course prices, it's simple. I just look at all the other course prices around and put it at £5 era, because it's better. That's all I do. Third question is very, very important. Are my customers, or my potential customers, are they already buying something similar? Now, this sounds daft, because in some cases I don't want competition at all. For example, the E-Type newsletter, there was no competition. But I asked myself the question, are these people buying something similar? Of course they are. They're buying classic car magazines. They're buying Jaguar Driver magazine, Jaguar Enthusiast, you know, magazine. That is something similar, but they weren't direct competitors, because they were dealing with a wider genre than I was. You must ask yourself the question, are you being a pioneer, or are you providing something that people are buying something similar already? And that's the important bit. If they're not buying something similar already, there's a reason for it. Either you've come up with something completely new, and you're about to be a pioneer, which I don't recommend. What you have to do then is to educate people as to why they need this thing.
The other word is trailblazer. You blaze a trail, you make no money, but then everybody behind you...
Yeah, well, you know, the first pioneers across America covered in arrows.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the stagecoach behind that made the money.
Yeah, exactly.
After the Indians were wiped out. You want to offer something that is either a better version or a different version to something that people are already buying. Because if they're already buying it, it means it's popular.
Right.
Fourth, and very important, my market, the people I want to sell it to, are they easy and cheap to contact? Take the E-Type one as an example. They were all reading the other magazines. I didn't know how to contact all people that own E-Type Jaguars, but I knew for a fact that every guy that owns an E-Type Jaguar will buy Classic and Sports Car magazine, or they will buy one of the Jaguar Club magazines, and that's how to get hold of them.
So you would advertise in those magazines, I suppose? Is that
small little ads in magazines that they're reading already.
Yeah.
I call those the generic magazines, the magazines that they're reading already. What's important is, you know, are they easy and cheap to contact? Cheap being important, easy being important. And if I wrote a book that was specifically for Eskimos, knowing that there's only 50,000 Inuits in the world, I should be able to sell 50,000 copies quite quickly. Unfortunately, I have no idea how to contact them at all. And I certainly can't do it cheaply. Make sure that you know how to contact your audience first. So don't write the book and then think how to sell it. Question number five, I ask myself, will this thing pay for itself? If I can produce a product which I can say to people, look, this might be worth X, but you will recoup 2X by the time you finish reading it, then I've got a sellable product because it sets in the mind of the reader the fact that he's buying an investment rather than just buying a cost. Now, some things don't work that way. You buy a washing machine, you don't expect it to pay for itself, but it has huge utility value, similar for a TV. It has huge entertainment value. So it has either got to have a huge value which is not expressed in money. For example, a book on bodybuilding. The value there is health, sexual attractiveness. Or it's a book on how to make money, in which case it will pay for itself. Will it pay for itself one way or the other? And if it does, say so in advertising.
Put those benefits down.
Absolute benefits. Next to last question, has it got a high perceived value? The idea of perceived value is brilliant. I love this idea of perceived value because the copy puts the concept of perceived value into the mind of the reader. I read somewhere, don't get me wrong, I don't actually use this in advertising consciously, but I have it subconsciously, so at the back of my mind. Psychologically, people want to be led, which is why when you read any book on how to do mail order, it will say, before you do anything, always ask for the order in your copy. Assume that the person is going to buy it. Somewhere psychologically, people want to be told what to do. Gently and politely, say so in your copy. And if you say it's got high perceived value,
they will believe that.
Yeah. The value is created by the benefits that you have. If I have an idea for a new project, I will sit down and spend 2 days writing an advert to myself. It does two things. First of all, it'll tell me straight away whether I've got enough information in there to be worth it. If it feels good, then I've got a good product. All I've got to do then is to provide a product that lives up to the promise of the advert. So if I've promised X, Y, Z in the advert, I must produce a product that gives X, Y, and Z. You've seen most of the scams in the marketplace these days. They'll promise you X, Y, and Z in the advert, and you just don't deliver. Then you ask for a refund, you don't get that either.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way they work. Finally, make sure that whatever you write is easy to understand. I like the idea of step by step. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. How to boil an egg. Don't write a novel. Don't write War and Peace. Step one, grab hold of egg in right hand. Lightly. Make sure it's not ambiguous. Stand in boiling water for 3 minutes. Won't it burn my feet? Yes. Stand egg in boiling water. You know, be careful, and they'll try and stand it. And it'll roll over. Believe me, I once spent half an hour trying to explain something over the telephone to a guy who did not know the difference between the return key and the enter key on a keyboard. I don't mean that's a criticism. We've all got to start somewhere. There's a common denominator down to which I usually go, where I have to assume a certain level of knowledge.
Yes.
But it's usually pretty low down. But I don't go to rock bottom, otherwise we're really stuck.
Yeah.
You know, pick up pen in right hand, place index finger here. Make sure it's easy to understand. Those are the main things. If you want to find out whether something's going to be good or bad, that's the way to do it.
That's a great insight into how the master, Phil Gosling, produces some of his products. Well, someone who was with us last week was Jim Straw. He was talking to Louis Allport, and I had a lot of requests to hear more from Jim. I mean, one of Jim's products brought in over $3 million in sales, so he really does know what he's talking about. And we're just sticking with the subject of finding out what people want.
The best thing to do, of course, is you respond to the need of the buyers out there. And I have seen a number of products that if I were a research writer, I could write and make some money on simply by going to the various discussion boards and reading the kind of questions that are out there. And whenever you find a bunch of questions about one particular piece of information, then that's something that you could research and create a product from. Because if there's enough interest, if people are asking the question, then you could find an answer for it. If you can find an answer, you've got a market. The answer is you've got to listen. Because, see, besides selling info products, I've sold just about everything else you can imagine. And I've always listened to the public, listened to what they are asking for. As a matter of fact, one of my best newsletters many years ago was Offshore Banking News. And the reason it was a bestseller is because there was a great interest in the offshore banking community, what was going on, what was happening. But most of the newsletters in that genre were written from the standpoint of tax evasion, tax avoidance, that kind of thing. And what I did was develop the Offshore Banking News, which actually reported on the financial activities within the various countries around the world. I had stringers in 40 countries that picked up news items, clipped articles from magazines and newspapers in their local area, translated them into English and sent them to us. We reported on the banks in Panama with Noriega, and we got a call from CBS News, and they featured Offshore Banking News in the article we had written about Noriega's banks in Panama, because we were picking up legitimate information about the offshore banking community, the financial institutions in those areas, rather than touting the tax evasion and the all of the other nonsense that was going on in the supposed offshore banking newsletters.
Jim Straw talking to Louis Allport there. Well, Martin Avis joins us again. He's just back from his break in Miami. Martin, I just wanted to say that I get lots of emails from people saying, I want to start an e-zine, but I just can't write. You know, what can I do? I mean, you're a great writer, aren't you?
Well, I probably thought I couldn't write at one time. We all think we can't do things, but you have a go. I mean, I've had people in my magazine who've written to me saying, you know, I'd really love to write an article for you, but I can't write. So I said, well, write it anyway, and I'll edit it for you. Ask somebody to help you, because really, it's about communication. If you can talk to somebody, you can write. I think we've been trained through the school system to think of writing as being something that's terribly difficult and you have to be very precise and you've got to use the right grammar, and certainly in business writing you have to be very formal. And that's all complete nonsense. The best writing is the writing that's done from one person to another person. I don't write to 2,000-odd subscribers when I write BusyZine. I write to one person who's sitting in front of me. And if you can talk to somebody one-on-one, you can write about it.
Yeah,
it's that
exactly.
Simple.
So do you have a set formula that you use? In saying that, what I mean, my formula is I do it about 2 minutes before I should, but it's been going around in my head for a while. Do you have any particular formula yourself?
Well, I wish I did, really. It'd make it a lot easier. I have a Palm PDA, and I take that with me absolutely everywhere. Ideas crop up all the time, but ideas are so fleeting, certainly in my old mind, that 5 minutes after I've thought what a brilliant idea that is, I can't remember having the thought. So I write absolutely everything down. My PDA is full of ideas for articles, so I've always got things that I can write about. And then when I've got a few minutes, I'm on a train or something, then I'll pick the one that most appeals to me and start jotting down ideas. But as I said before, it's about personal communication to me, so I just imagine that I don't know anything about the subject and I'm writing it to myself. You know, if it would interest me, I sort of try and answer the questions I would ask. And there's always the old trick of who, what, why, where, and how. If you answer all of those things, then you've got an article, really.
You come up with something. Now, I do look forward to your e-zine every week, and I've seen other people mention that they enjoy reading it as well. Do you just do bits of it throughout the week, or do you just sit down on a Friday or whatever and pull it all together?
Well, the articles sort of happen throughout the week, really, because I'm writing all the time. My offline business I have to write as well, so that's a sort of an ongoing continuous process. But the editorial part of BusyZine, which is quite a growing part of it really, I tend to write almost immediately before the magazine goes out, because it needs to be recent. It's kind of a roundup of what's been going on really for me, and so I tend to write that straight and then plug in the articles and the quotes and things that go on top of it. If I've decided I want to use somebody else's article, then it might be that I'm working with them to pull the article together during the week, or I might be, you know, going online searching for other articles. But I wouldn't say it takes days and days and days to do, but it's a hobby. I enjoy it.
You brought me on something I was going to mention again for anybody who's thinking about setting up their own newsletter or e-zine. They may not realize that you can actually get articles from all over the internet and use them free of charge.
You can, but you do have to be careful with it. I subscribe to a lot of zines, and the ones that I tend not to read very often are the ones that are just lists of other people's articles, because whilst it's fine to run other people's articles occasionally, I think really if you're going to write an e-zine, you need to give it your own voice. I might run somebody else's article every 2 or 3 weeks, but most of the time what I'm writing in Busy Zine is from me to my readers, and I think that's why people like it, if they do. I hope they do. You know, the other articles that will go in will be because I've seen an article that is particularly good, or might be from a subscriber that you know, is covering something that I've maybe raised a few weeks earlier.
Thanks, Martin, and don't forget to check out Martin's link, and you can subscribe to his Biz E-Zine. Well, depending on where you are in the world, you're either quite stressed out because your kids are just about ready to go back to school, or you're totally chilled out because they have gone back to school. So wherever you are, have a great week's marketing on the internet, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.